Hi, and welcome back to another edition of .NET Debugging for the Production Environment. You know, at the beginning of this series, we talked about how application issues in the production environment can mostly be broken down into one of three different buckets. You've got your exceptions that may or may not lead to crashes, you've got your non-responsiveness or hangs, and you've got your performance-related issues and symptoms such as long response time, higher than expected CPU, and memory pressure. And until the advent or in the popularity of the 64-bit architecture, by far the most popular kinds of issues that we had with .NET applications was memory pressure issues. And from some of the feedback that we had at the beginning of the series, asking, hey Brad, can you tell us how to go through and troubleshoot some of these memory pressure issues and take a look at how to find in a dump file where the problem might be, we decided to go ahead and do that. So this is the first in a few different segments on how to troubleshoot memory pressure issues. But before I get into the actual troubleshooting, I wanted to make sure that we first have a segment on the virtual address space and virtual memory, because without a good understanding of virtual memory and the virtual address space, I find that a lot of customers end up taking incorrect troubleshooting paths and making a lot of false assumptions and inaccurate conclusions as to where the problem is and how to fix it. So that's what we're going to focus on in this particular segment. I'll talk about the virtual address space and make sure that by the time we're done here with this very high-level primer on virtual memory, that you've got some good foundational knowledge upon which you can go ahead and use to start troubleshooting your memory pressure issues. So first, the virtual address space. I want to make sure that everybody understands we're talking about virtual memory here, not physical, not RAM, not disk, but virtual memory. Every process, when it starts up on Windows, has its own virtual address space, and virtual memory is in this virtual address space. The address space is split into two different areas, or two different spaces. You've got your user space and your kernel space. For the purposes of this series, we're going to focus on the user area of the virtual address space. For memory pressure issues, this is where your code is going to be executing when you write it in C# or C++. This is where your objects consume memory, and when it gets too much, this is where the memory pressure is felt. So how big is the virtual address space? Well, it depends on what architecture that you're talking about, whether it's 64 or 32-bit. We'll start off talking about 64-bit. In WoW 64, your user address space is going to be 4 gig as long as you compile with the large address aware flag. Now, what is WoW 64? WoW stands for Windows on Windows. This represents 32-bit processes running on a 64-bit operating system. And I mentioned how as long as you compile with a large address aware flag, you compile your EXEs, you'll get 4 gig in the user mode on WoW processes. If you don't have the option to compile with the large address aware flag, you can always do what I've done with other customers in the past. You can use EditBin, which is a tool that has been around for a long time, comes with Visual Studio, and a post-build step, you can always invoke EditBin to turn on the large address aware flag for your EXE. What about native 64-bit processes? Memory pressure is not going to be an issue in the virtual address space for native 64-bit processes because you've got terabytes of space. I think the smallest amount of space that you can have on a native 64-bit process in user mode is going to be 7 terabyte. For most of them, you're going to have 8 terabyte in the virtual address space on user mode. So when we get to native 64-bit processes, RAM is going to be the primary limitation, not your virtual address space. And we'll deal with that possibly in a later segment on this series. Most of your memory pressure issues are going to be coming from the 32-bit operating system. Some of them you'll also see on WoW processes because it's still 4 gig, but that's twice as big as the default user mode space on a 32-bit operating system. By default, it's 2 gig, and the other 2 gig goes into kernel mode. You can increase your user mode space by using the 3GB or user VA switches in the boot.ini. It's never something that I've recommended without extensive testing. I have worked with customers before that they wanted to get a little bit more address space, so they just turn on 3GB, and a lot of times they end up getting more problems than they solve by using that switch. So what consumes virtual memory? Well, I want to make sure that everyone understands first that in the virtual address space, memory exists in one of three states at any given point in time: free, committed, or reserved. When you're writing your code, unless you're writing it in C++, you don't have to worry about this reserved and committed, because before you can commit memory, you have to first reserve it. Well, the CLR is actually going to reserve memory for you when you write your application in .NET. And it does it in various different segments, sizes and segments. When you go ahead and create your object, if it's a string, an array, a hash table, a boolean, whatever, that is when the memory at the address where your object lies changes from the reserved state to the committed state. So this is nothing that you as a developer have to manually do, but it's very important to understand the differences between committed and reserved and free when you're troubleshooting your memory pressure issues. Oftentimes I get questions from customers saying, you know, I don't understand why I'm getting an out of memory exception. I've looked in the dump and I see that I've got 500 meg free or 200 meg free or some huge amount. Why in the world am I getting an out of memory exception when I've got so much free memory? And the reason is because of fragmentation. Whenever Windows wants to allocate memory or wants to go ahead and reserve memory, it has to do so in a contiguous address space. So if you've got a heat manager that's trying to reserve, let's say, a 32 meg segment or a 1 meg segment or however big the segment might be, it's got to do so with contiguous address space. So let's say that you've got a heat manager that needs to reserve a segment. It's 32 meg in size. It cannot take 16 contiguous meg in one area of the virtual address space and 16 meg in a different area of the virtual address space. It has to do 32 meg all at once. That 32 meg all has to be contiguous. So it can't take 10 and 10 and 12. It has to be 32 meg. If it cannot find, in this example, 32 meg contiguous free space, that's when you get your out of memory exception. So if you're saying, look, I don't understand why I've got an out of memory exception when I'm looking at the dump, it shows that I've got 300 meg free. Take a look at your largest contiguous free space. It's not going to be 300 meg. As a matter of fact, it may only be 10 meg or something like that. The smaller the contiguous free space, the more fragmented your virtual address space is. So fragmentation a lot of times will lead to these out of memory exceptions. And the key when you're troubleshooting is to figure out why my address space is so fragmented. What consumes, now back to the topic here on the slide, what consumes virtual memory? Well, you got lots of different things. I'll cover some of the more popular consumers here. You've got images. We're not talking about JPEGs or pictures. We're talking about assemblies, modules, DLLs. And when you have a dependency from your application, it's going to get mapped into the virtual address space. That consumes memory, and it's going to be in the committed state. These images are typically small. They're typically, you know, a few K or maybe even a few meg. But they're going to, one of the best ways to fragment your virtual address space is to take lots and lots of little small chunks of the virtual address space. And that breaks up the contiguous free. Whenever you compile your images, your assemblies, you have the option to put in a preferred load address there. If you don't do that, then the operating system, well, you'll get a default load address, but then the operating system will choose at runtime where your virtual address space, where your image is going to go, rather, in the virtual address space. You've also got threads that take up the virtual address space. Every thread that your process spawns is going to take a certain amount of memory. It has a default that is in the reserved state and a default that is in the committed state. The more objects you put on the stack, the more that reserved address space is going to be converted over to the committed space. And then the two bullet points down here at the bottom of the slide that comprise the bulk most of the time of the virtual memory consumption is going to be native or unmanaged heaps. Now this is not .NET, not in Java, but heap managers such as C++. Every time you open up, for example, when you open up Notepad, you've got the default process heap. Yeah, the default process heap is going to be on every process that you launch, even Notepad, Outlook, Word, what have you. Those are all from unmanaged heaps. You also have managed heaps, so from virtual memory managers such as .NET and Java is going to fall into this category. How much memory they take up, well, it depends on various metrics such as logical cores, architecture, things like that. And the sizes are also an internal implementation. And it can vary from depending on, like I said, the architecture, the number of cores, and some other metrics as well. A lot of times when I'm talking to customers about virtual memory, and I've gone through some of the topics that I've just gone through with you, there's still a lot of confusion, and that's natural, as to try to put together what does all this matter, how is this going to affect how I troubleshoot. And it's not until I start showing them some demos or a picture, a pseudo picture of the virtual address space, how it all starts coming together. So if you're not quite putting it all together yet, don't worry, most people aren't. But it is key to understand, when I'm talking to customers about how to troubleshoot memory pressure issues, the topics that I'm talking about in this segment are key, and they are core to your ability to be able to troubleshoot your memory pressure issues. So you need to make sure that you've got this material down before you move on to troubleshoot some of the other memory pressure issues that you might be experiencing. You're going to be on a lot better foundation to do so once you have these concepts down. So here's a picture that I've shown customers in the past that helps them to kind of put together what I've talked about up to this point. This is a pseudo picture representation of your virtual address space. This rectangle here is going to comprise some of your 2 gig virtual user mode virtual address space on a 32-bit process. If I go all the way over to the left here at the upper top, eventually I'll get to address 0, which is the beginning of my 2 gig virtual address space. If I come down here to the bottom and slide all the way over to the right, keep sliding to the right, that would represent the end of my virtual address space, where I'm getting next to the address of 2 gig. The different colors that you see here are representation of the memory at each address in a different state. With the exception of the white, all the different colors here represent memory that is in a reserved or committed state. Remember, we talked about how memory can exist in one of three states in the virtual address space at any given time: free, reserved, or committed. The gray in this particular picture is going to represent native a native heap. So whether it's light gray or dark gray, this represents memory addresses that have memory in one of the native heaps. Now, just because the gray, you see some of these gray bars, whether they're light or gray, and they're not next to each other, they're kind of split up. That might mean that this represents a native heap that is either different native heaps, or it could be the same native heap, just different segments of the same native heap. When you've committed all the memory in a heap, and it's gone from the reserve to the committed state, and then you make another allocation that can't fit in the current segment, your heap manager a lot of times will try to allocate a different and additional segment. How big this additional segment is going to be is going to depend on the internal implementation algorithm of that heap manager. And it won't necessarily be able to find memory that is contiguous to your existing segment. It might have to go further on down the line here, such as this big white space, this big free area here, in order to allocate another segment in that particular heap. So just because you see gray areas or green areas or blue areas split up does not mean they're from a different heap. It could be from the same heap, just in different segments. And the red and the pink here might represent something that is in threads, for example. So let's say if I zoom in here, I take a look at some dark red area here and some light pink area up here. That might be better able to, let's see, up here at the top is a little easier place to see some dark and pink areas together. And that would represent a thread that has reserved some memory in the virtual address space here, where the dark represents committed area, a committed memory on the thread, and the pink represent part of the thread that is still in the reserved area. And then the green, this is where we're going to focus on here in this series, .NET. Areas of this, that the CLR and the virtual address space has reserved, it would be in the light green, and then in the dark green would be areas where your code has actually created objects so that the memory at those addresses has been changed from the reserved state to the committed state. And we see here that we've got several different areas of green that would represent where .NET has reserved different segments for you, so that when you are in your code have created a hash table or loaded up a big string builder or something like that, when you do that, .NET then commits the memory at that particular address, and it changes from the reserved state to the committed state. Nothing you as a developer have to worry about actually doing, but when you're troubleshooting or even when you're developing, you're thinking about how to manage your memory, this is something that you want to be aware of and how to have good memory management. I work with customers that, like for example, when .NET first came out, and they were creating lots and lots of different objects all the time. Could have been doing a lot of COM interop, could have been implementing a lot of finalizers, and creating a lot of objects unnecessarily. It was until they started experiencing these memory pressures in production that they started realizing when they're developing their application, they can actually write their code in such a way that it makes better use of .NET's garbage collector. And then the yellow over here is images. So again, we're talking about DLLs. This might be one of the DLLs that either is the part of the CLR, or it could be part of what every process is used, like kernel32.dll or user32.dll in the 32-bit world. It could be some dependencies for your particular application as well. And if you don't put in a preferred load address, then the operating system will go ahead and find a location for you. And then the blue here, the light blue, and there are some areas here of dark blue that I can focus in on. There we go. So for example, here's some dark blue right in here. This would be memory that it's not .NET, it's not native heaps, it's not the threads, it's not an image, it's something else. A lot of times area in these that I'm representing here by this blue is going to be somebody else that's making a direct call to virtual alloc. It could be some memory map files. I've seen memory map files get into this unknown area as well. But most of the time, it's somebody who's making a direct call to virtual alloc. And so you can see here why, and this is just part of a fictitious 2 gig virtual address space. I don't have the entire one laid out here. But if you add up these white areas over here, this might represent a total of, I'll say 50 meg. But the largest contiguous area right in here might only be, say, 20 meg. Now, if you notice that there's an image that's loaded right here. If he were instead to be loaded somewhere over here, then this white area and this white area would now be contiguous, and you'd have a largest contiguous area where a heap manager, if it needed to allocate an additional segment for it, could have a bigger free space here of contiguous free to make its allocation request. Otherwise, let's say if this is 20 gig here and this is 10 gig here, if you had to make a 24 gig allocation, megabytes, if this is 20 meg, say, and this is, I'm making this up, 10 meg, together, these two free spaces might combine to be 30 meg. Well, if you have a heap manager that is trying to make an allocation for a segment that is, say, 24 meg in size, it cannot do it because the largest contiguous free here is only 20. So you might get an out-of-memory problem simply because this particular assembly was loaded at this particular spot. So I talked about how the key here is understanding that whenever a heap manager wants to allocate memory, reserve it, it has to be contiguous space. And that's key to understanding some of your out of memory issues. Fragmentation, I did mention that fragmentation is a problem. We see here that these, for example, this assembly down in here has fragmented the larger areas noted here, free areas here and here. So it breaks it up and it fragments it. The more you fragment your virtual address space, the more likely you are to have an out of memory exception. And in terms of programming .NET, there's not a lot that you can do about it. In terms of where segments are allocated or how big they are, what you can do as an application developer is control the size of the objects or the amount of objects that you do create. You can't always control it all. Somebody may hand you a very large data set that you don't have a choice on accepting, but there are other areas of your application a lot of times where you can influence how many objects you're going to create or how big those objects are going to be. How do we diagnose the memory pressure? Where I covered this in parts 1 and 2 of this series, taking a look at perfmon, looking at the private bytes counter, and if you wanted to, you can use private bytes to determine if you are experiencing unbounded memory growth. You can compare that to number of bytes in all heaps to determine whether or not your memory pressure issue is going to be native or whether it's going to be a .NET issue. What if you don't have a perf monologue? What if this is an issue where you're in production, you don't necessarily have a perf mon running on your production server, but you do see from various monitoring tools or just by looking at Task Manager, you know, I've got a process here that's getting a lot of memory committed to it. I've got, let's say it's a 32-bit operating system, and all of a sudden I see that I've got 800 meg, 900 meg, a gig of private bytes. I know that this is going to be a problem because it continues to grow. So if you've got an on-the-ball system administrator, they can go ahead and dump it. You can take a look at that dump even without perfmon and get a lot of information that will tell you whether this is going to be a managed issue .NET or a native issue. The command that I always like to run when I'm dealing with memory high memory dumps is bang address. And this is not a command that comes with PSS Core or SOS. This is for EXT, one of the extensions that comes with the debugging tools for Windows. And it's loaded automatically in your debugging session when you open up a dump in WinDBG. When you run the dash summary argument, it will break down the virtual address space into several different kinds of buckets. And we'll take a look at that in the next segment here on .NET debugging for the production environment. You really need to make sure that you understand some key components of this output so that you know where your memory pressure is coming from. And it may be different from who kind of pushed you over the edge and caused you to have an out-of-memory exception. And again, memory pressure is going to be a lot more prominent on a 32-bit operating system and possibly even maybe a WoW 64-bit process rather than a native 64-bit process. And that's nothing magical about how a native 64-bit process is going to manage the virtual address space. It's simply because the address space is so large, the symptoms are going to be kept quiet until, at least on 64-bit, you reach your RAM limitation, since your RAM limitation, at least in 2012, is a lot more likely to be your primary limitation than your virtual address space, which is going to be up in the terabytes. So again, it's nothing magical about how a native 64-bit process is going to manage your virtual address space. It's just because the symptoms are going to be kept quiet a lot longer because you've got such a huge virtual address space, and you won't see those symptoms as quickly as you would see on 32-bit process. Now that you've got the foundation, foundational knowledge to understand a little bit more about the virtual address space and virtual memory, in the very next segment, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a look at a dump of a process that was under memory pressure. We're going to take what we've learned in this segment and apply it into that segment and help us to get a better understanding of where memory pressure is coming from so that we can help and find root cause.